And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Crystal Ball Run podcast, the official podcast of crystalballrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Crystal Ball Run, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/crystalballrun. You can also find us on Google Plus and YouTube. And I'm Kevin McGuire. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin on CFB. And we have a lot to talk about today. And to do that, we're going to be talking to Jack Jurgensen. He is one of the college football writers over at the FanSided Network. You can check his work out on SaturdayBlitz.com. Good follow on Twitter at JackJ14CFB. We'll have all of the links to this stuff right on CrystalBallRun.com if you want to check it out. I also want to remind everybody that you can subscribe to our free email newsletter. Just go to CrystalBallRun.com and check the newsletter banner on the right side of the page. And you can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. So make sure you do that. Leave us a review, and we always look forward to your feedback as well moving forward. So what are we going to be talking about today? Well, Florida State's certainly going to be a topic. We'll talk about the BCS standings. And, of course, where do we go from here with the University of Miami? So joining me now on the Crystal Ball Run podcast is Jack Jurgensen. You can follow him on Twitter at JackJ14CFB. Jack, we're going to have to talk about that Twitter profile a little bit later. But he is the lead college football editor over at fansided.com. And you can check him out as a staff writer at SaturdayBlitz.com. Jack, good to have you on today. How you doing today?
Good, Kevin. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing well. And, you know, I'm looking outside my window right now. It's a little bit chilly. I can actually tell that it's October, the middle of October. And, of course, that means that, you know, college football is at the midway point, really, and we're getting into the second half of the season. A lot of storylines to follow. We've got the BCS rankings out right now. We've got Florida State becoming a national championship contender with a guy that's running to the front of the Heisman race. We're going to talk about all that sort of stuff coming up with you, Jack. But I want to give you a chance right now to just introduce yourself a little bit to the podcast, get people a chance to get to know you a little bit, what you've got going on, and how they can get in touch with you.
Well, like you said, I'm the college football editor at fansided.com. They're on the Sports Illustrated Network website. And we cover everything, pretty much every conference. There's breaking news all day, everything. And we have a full staff on file. And then for Saturday Blitz, that's basically where I get to do the fun work. That's breaking down the games, a little bit more longer columns that I get to take a little in-depth look at. You know, some of the happenings. We break down a lot of the rankings, and we even have some MAC stuff on there. A lot of Western. We have Western Michigan writer Brandon Folsom on there. Does a lot of work, giving a little bit of insight to the MAC. And basically, get to cover everything, top to bottom, college football.
Yeah, when I look at the FanSided Network, I look at Saturday Blitz as kind of the equivalent over there of what we have going at Crystal Ball Run on the Blogwood Network. You know, we're all covering the same kind of stories, getting the national perspective and giving some of our own commentary. So I've been a fan of Saturday Blitz for a while. Obviously, Kyle did a lot of great work with the website, and he's moved on a little bit. But it's good to see that's like still going strong, and obviously I encourage people to go check it out. Like I said, we got to work on your Twitter name a little bit. Is that a little confusing to some people? Or is it just me?
When I moved from one job to the other, I changed it. And this, I think, was before I even met you. It was actually, well, it might have been a little bit after. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed plausible. But you know what? You and I will have to come up with maybe some kind of bet, some kind of wager throughout the season where I'll change it if something specific happens.
All right, well, Hemi, if it works for you, don't mind me. I'm just saying, you know, Jack J, 14 CFB, yeah, it could be a little complicated, but hey, if it works for you, go for it. Jack, also in your Twitter bio, it says you're a beer and pizza expert. So I got to ask you, if you're sitting down for a game on Saturday, what's your beer choice and what kind of pizza are you having?
Well, so you and I are both Pennsylvania boys.
That's right.
So it's a beer, Yingling. Now, the pizza, Kevin, have you ever been up here? Old Forge.
It's been a real long time. I've got some family history up in that neck of the woods, but I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I was up there.
Any place up here in Old Forge, they still call it the pizza capital of the world. It's still recognized in some places as that, and it pretty much any pizza place down there, you have about 10 or 15 of them to choose from, literally in just one little stretch of one of the smallest towns in the whole state. But that's all it is pretty much pizza restaurant, a few Italian mixed in here and there, but they have served pizza too. But as far as just straight pizza places, you have about 10 to 15 to choose from on a Saturday night. I'll flip a coin. I'll throw a dart to the dartboard just to pick one.
You really can't go wrong, it sounds like. So that's good. Have you ever been down to the Bethlehem area?
A few times. The Eagles training camp. Mm-hmm. Went to a bunch of times. And I used to have family that lived down by the Bethlehem area a long time ago.
Well, I'll throw the name out there. If you ever get a chance in that area, it's called the Colonial. They've got a really good pizza. But, you know, I think this conversation is starting to bore some of the people. So let's talk about some of the reasons that we're all looking forward to this upcoming weekend in college football. We've got some big games, of course. But I want to talk about some of the bigger storylines that have been happening in the last couple of days. And, of course, yesterday the big news was Miami finally found out what their future has in store. It's been a long time coming for the University of Miami. We all know the past 2 years they voluntarily sat out of the postseason, hoping that was going to show some goodwill with whatever happens with the NCAA. And to me, honestly, I think it paid off. I think what we saw yesterday was the NCAA accepting that 2-year self-imposed bowl ineligibility for Miami. There will be no further postseason ban for the school. They will lose 9 scholarships over the next 3 years, which I think is entirely manageable. And of course, Clint Hurt, Aubrey Hill, they get the 2-year show cause. Basketball coach gets suspended for 5 games. Overall, when you look at what happened with Miami, do you think that the NCAA made the right call with their sanctions and their decisions?
Really, they made the only call that they could have. I mean, in reality, given everything that happened, this probably, the punishment itself probably should have been a lot worse. Had this been done 4 years ago, it probably should have been a lot worse. But like I just said, the NCAA made the only call that they could make, because there was no chance of them coming down on Miami that hard just because of how the NCAA screwed up their end of the investigation throughout the whole process. I mean, they've made themselves look stupid in the past, and knowing that they were going to look stupid, and Mark Emmert was kind of smug about it. But I think in this case, they knew that they really had no choice whatsoever than to just say, all right, look, we're just going to slap you on the wrist a little bit. We're just going to walk away and forget this ever happened. The only indication that I had throughout the week that it might be something worse, which would have surprised me, was the fact that they did this right after Florida State won their game Saturday, right after, for 2 weeks before the matchup between them and Miami are set. And it just kind of seemed like they were being spiteful in the sense that, all right, Miami's in the top 10. All right, we're announcing the sanctions. And I'm thinking, oh, they might be coming. They're going to kill it. They're going to kill all this momentum. But then when they announced it yesterday, you know, the 9 scholarships, no bowl ban, I said, yeah, this was just a slap on the wrist, get this out of the way, and kind of, all right, we just part ways and forget this ever happened.
Do you think that they ended up being, as I'm going to use the word lenient, just because I think given all the details of this case, I think it could have been more severe. Again, if they hadn't bundled their investigation, and if maybe they had made this decision a year ago, it probably could have been worse than what it ended up being. But I think when you look at what happened, you know, compare that to what we've seen at other schools, Ohio State, Oregon more recently, you know, I still think there are some people at USC who are probably a little bit upset about what's going on. You know, can we compare what happened with Miami with some of these other schools? Do some of these other schools maybe have a right to call foul with what happened with Miami?
You know, I was never a fan of comparing, when the Penn State thing was going on and people say, you know, SMU, and I said, no, all right, two different, you're apples and oranges here. You know, every situation's different. But the main thing here, like you brought up USC, the USC fans yesterday, they were complaining, and maybe they have a right to get away. However, the big thing is cooperation. Nobody really likes the NCAA. That's a known fact. But if you Oregon showed, if you cooperate with them, it's not going to be as harsh. Miami just showed, even though they fought in the court, but still, you know, slapped themselves in the 2-year bowl ban. If you cooperate with the NCAA, it's going to help you in the end. USC did not cooperate with the NCAA, so when you start to anger them, that's when they come down hard. But as far as comparing, there's different situations. You know, there are different circumstances for every situation, and I don't really think you can compare them.
I tend to agree with that, and I think that comparing one sanction case or one, you know, one investigation to another from school to school, I think doesn't get you anywhere really, because everything is going to tend to be different. But there are some similarities you can draw. The one thing I would be curious to know is if Ohio State had decided to sit out of the postseason, I guess 2 years ago, would they have been eligible for the postseason last year? I think that's one thing that would be fair to question as far as what Ohio State's decision was under the situation they were in, given what we've seen with Miami.
I'll tell you right now, Kevin, if they sat out that Sugar Bowl against Arkansas, they would have been a national championship. Alabama would not be a three-time national champion. It would have been Ohio State and Notre Dame. If you look at the history of things, like I said, cooperation. If they had just sat out that Sugar Bowl, said, no, you know what? We can't go to this. We messed up. Yeah, they probably would have. They probably would have been in the title game last year.
Yeah, it's one of the big what-ifs in college football the last couple of years. Certainly that Ohio State team going undefeated last year, I would find it nearly impossible to believe they wouldn't have been in a BCS championship game if they were eligible. Like you said, against Notre Dame and then Alabama, it's a little bit of a different story, although it's certainly a darn good team, of course, as we've seen this season. And we'll get to a little bit of where Alabama is and where Ohio State could be as far as this whole BCS picture is. But what is next for Miami? Because now they know what's ahead of them. They know that the recruiting restrictions aren't all that strict, I think. I think losing three scholarships a year, certainly nothing that is going to hold them back too much, at least as far as the ACC is concerned. You know, Al Golden now can look forward to a postseason, which I think is what a lot of people have been waiting for.
Yeah, and they're going to make a bowl game again this year.
Yeah.
But, the thing that the Miami fan base has to realize is everything's kind of happening at once. Undefeated, seventh in the country. Big showdown with Florida State coming up. But that's where they're going to be brought back down to reality. Because, we saw that Florida State team on Saturday. We saw Miami and North Carolina last Thursday. Miami is not a top 10 team on the field. In the rankings, yeah, they are by default because that stuff happens. But on the field, Miami's not a top 10 team. Top 20? Yeah, but they are not a top 10 team. So they're going to be brought back down to reality on November 2nd when they walk into Tallahassee. But now it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to recruit because they lost some recruits because of all this for the summer. And now they're going to be able to have a more stable environment. My only concern is Al Golden has done a great job. Just like he did at Temple, I think he's done a great job of keeping this Miami program together. And when Lane Kiffin was fired from USC and all the names started popping out, I was the one who brought up, what if they call Al Golden? And that would be my only concern, if the money from USC would be enough to get Al Golden to go out to USC. That's the only setback I could see them having with the next few years, is if USC goes after him and he bolts to Southern California. Because I would look at him as a perfectly plausible candidate. I mean, they're putting all these big names up there, but I would look at him as someone that they could bring out there and he could do some things with, especially in that recruiting area.
Yeah, regardless of what happens against Florida State in a couple weeks, Miami is still going to have a very good season. So he's certainly going to be in the mix for, or at least in the conversation for some of those other jobs that are going to be out there. Certainly the USC one. I'm not going to throw him in the Texas mix, but if he has a successful season, maybe 10 wins at Miami, that's going to open up some eyes. But I will say this, with the fact that now Miami is not going to be ineligible for the postseason, maybe it's a little bit more lucrative to stay at Miami. Again, it all does come down to money in many respects, and neither one of us can sit here and say what Al Golden is thinking, but it is interesting to think about. I think if Miami is going to continue to rebuild this program, which I think they're certainly on the right track of doing, it's going to be important to have some stability there. And I view Al Golden as a guy who is committed to getting that job done. I don't know if he's a guy that would just pick up his bags and leave for the next best opportunity before he feels like he's accomplished something. I don't know if he's there yet with Miami. Again, I can't get in his head and think about what he's saying. But I think when he left Temple for Miami, I think the timing was right. He had done a whole tremendous amount of work with getting Temple to actually win some football games and get to a bowl game. And I just don't know if the ceiling was going to be that much higher for that program. Now, going to Miami, I think that there's still work to be done. I think he's a guy that could get it done. So, again, it all comes down to what he's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, like, kind of like you said, I agree. He is a guy that does seem committed to a job, but when he did leave Temple, there really was nothing left for him to do. But it's still going to take a while to get that Miami program back to where they need to be. One of the things I'd like to see them have their own stadium. Number one, I mean, we see the jokes every Saturday with the pictures of the empty Sun Life Stadium, but I think part of that is fans don't like it, and they haven't liked it from day one when they tore down the Orange Bowl. They don't like going there, and I understand that's maybe not an excuse to skip out on your team, but they don't, and I've talked to Miami fans that said they don't like it there. So, I mean, but that's where a coach like Al Golden can help build this program back up, get them successful, and then those things will come. The extra benefits, like a new stadium, perhaps, and those things will come. I always liked Al Golden, and he does have them on the right track, regardless of what happens against Florida State, because they probably are. They're a 10-win team, and they might get two cracks at Florida State. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a good year for Miami, and you know, things are going to continue to go upwards. I think as long as Al Golden's got this program in that right direction, in that right mindset, I thought he was a good hire from the start, and I've always been a supporter of what he's been doing, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting in the next couple of years as long as he stays there. So I'm right with you with getting an on-campus stadium. I think on-campus stadiums are the best. I can't stand seeing games being played in NFL venues. And it pains me every time I watch a game with the Florida Marlins, knowing that that's where the Orange Bowl used to sit. That is an atrocity of a stadium. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on as far as the BCS standings, because you mentioned it earlier. Miami is ranked in the top 10. Maybe they're not really a top 10 team. I'm with you on that as well. But let's look at where we sit with the BCS, because the BCS standings were first unveiled for the season on Sunday night, and to no surprise, Alabama is on top of the BCS standings. I don't think there's much question about that. What does surprise me a little bit is how quickly Florida State rose to that second spot in the polls. The computers love Florida State. They don't necessarily love Oregon right now, who I think a lot of people still consider the second best team. You know, where do you stand on that? Is it Alabama 1 and Florida State 2, or is Oregon 2?
I think it's 1A, 1B, and 1C right now, to be completely honest.
That's fair.
I think right now as a stand, it's those three and then everybody else. But no, it'll work itself out. Florida State did jump up to 2, and probably deservedly so. Walking in the Death Valley, third-ranked team, you blow them off the field. But, look, you know, there were a lot of Florida State fans that I personally had to calm down after Sunday. Even myself, I got excited first. You know, there's one thing seeing Florida State back to being the number two team in the country. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at the schedules, you say, look, by next week, the week after, Oregon's going to be right there. Florida State is not going to be here very long. Don't worry about it. It's like, actually, Florida State, they're the team in trouble. The rest of the schedule, I mean, Miami, they'll get some points for Miami, but then you got to wonder if Miami's going to blow a game or two that they really shouldn't. Florida Gators, 90% of their roster is on the injured reserve. That's not going to be impressive when a Florida State can beat them. Oregon, on the other hand, they still have Stanford ahead. They have UCLA this week. They're just, once they beat UCLA on Saturday, should that happen, because I think it's done up, they'll be right back in the number two slot.
Yeah, that's the way I feel, too. I think Oregon, even though they're at third right now in the first BCS games, it's not going to take much for them to move into number two, given the schedules that we're going to see the rest of the way. You know, if you're Florida State, you're hoping that Miami wins every game except when they play Florida State. Or maybe you're rooting for a Virginia Tech to really make that ACC championship game, so you get another win against a top 15 team, potentially. And, you know, again, you know, if Florida can find a way to win some football games, that would certainly help as well. But I certainly look at Oregon, and I look at that Stanford game. That's going to be huge. That could be a difference maker as far as the standings are concerned, given the respect that Stanford's going to have at that point, it would seem. And certainly this UCLA team, I still think is very good, despite what happened last week and what could happen this week. This is a UCLA team that's not going to go away.
Yeah, and you mentioned the team I think was in, they got the best deal out of anybody, even better than Florida State being at number two, was Stanford. Stanford got a gift from the BCS computers in the final year. Starting out at number six, a week after the loss to Utah, because they came out, they did what they had to do against UCLA. The Stanford, they're in a prime position, even with one loss, where if things go their way in front of them, Florida State drops a game, Ohio, if they can beat Oregon, they'll jump Ohio State again. Yeah. Ohio State's going to keep them leapfrogged by people. But as Alabama, just hypothetical, Alabama loses to LSU. Florida State loses somewhere down the road, Miami, Florida. And then all of a sudden, and Missouri loses, and then all of a sudden, you have Stanford, who after the Utah game, we all said, oh, what a disappointment. A lot of us just picked you guys as that. They're in the national championship game. They made it there anyway. So out of all the teams, they really got a gift, and David Shaw should really be thankful, because they're in a position where they can still win, they can still make it to the national championship game.
I'm going to ask you to pick between these two teams and tell me which one has the best chance to get to a BCS championship game, because I think a lot of people are expecting that they're going to be leapfrogged. Like you just said, Ohio State undefeated in the Big Ten, and Missouri, surprisingly, undefeated as the SEC East leader right now.
Missouri.
Yeah?
I was talking with someone the other day, I forget who it was, about Coach of the Year candidates. And right now, I can't pick in my own head between Gus Malzahn and Gary Pinkel. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
But what Pinkel has done with that team, and I remember I joked not too long ago about how we should all apologize to Missouri, because last year, remember, they came in and really got housed in the SEC, and we said, all right, A&M was a good idea, but you guys maybe. And now, look who's undefeated, and look who's number five, look who just beat Georgia and Florida, you know, and even injury aside,
right,
it's still impressive for them to be not only competing against those two, but beat them. But to make it to the championship game, I would give Missouri the edge, and only because, let's say they do run the table, and let's say they do match up with Alabama in the SEC title game in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Johnny Manziel, Alabama has a problem with spread offense. Right. They have a problem with that up-tempo style when it comes down to it. So not jumping out on a limb here and saying, yeah, Missouri could beat Alabama, but they would certainly have a shot at doing it if some things were to go right, if they were to match up with him on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. I'm kind of reluctant to really buy into Missouri as a BCS championship team. I'm not trying to take anything away from what they've done, because I think that they have been probably the biggest surprise and one of the more impressive teams this season, given what they've done to this point. And the way that they just trounced Florida with their backup quarterback, mind you, really opened up some eyes and said, you know, this Missouri team's very good. And I want to say this, you know, going into last season, when we saw Missouri and Texas A&M moving into the SEC, I was actually higher on Missouri in their division than I ever was on Texas A&M. So I was I had some egg on my face by the end of the year with the way that those teams played last season. But now I'm actually starting to feel good about where I was seeing Missouri in their division. I thought that they were going to be able to compete somewhat regularly in the SEC. So I'm a little proud to see what they're doing this season. But I don't know if I'm ready to buy into them just yet, but I think I'm not really sure what it is that I'm still waiting to see out of them.
You know, you're not the only one about last year, trust me, because, you know, even going back to the Chase Daniel years, I mean,
yeah.
Missouri has always been a program on the rise. When they made the move to the SEC, we said, you know what, yeah, they're probably, they don't need the Big 12 anymore. They can go play with the big boys, and then they couldn't, and then, you know, you have this year. But as far as buying into them, I agree with you on that point, because there still is the reality. It's not an excuse. It is a reality. They beat Georgia. They beat Florida. But again, you know, we saw the running joke. If you put the injury rosters together of Florida and Georgia combined, you could put together a team that will win the SEC East. And sadly, that's probably true. So, I mean, we need to see Missouri up against some good competition. They need that signature win. But when you put them up against Ohio State, I mean, I don't like to be like everybody else, but I just don't like Ohio State. I have this fear that they're maybe a glorified Notre Dame from last year. I mean, Braxton Miller's a little better than Everett Golson, but they kind of almost, to me, in some sense, they look like a clone. And that's a bad thing, because if they were to run the table, we were to sit here for a month and a half and hype up, you know, Urban Meyer versus Saban, or even, you know, you throw Florida State in there, or Ohio State, Florida State, I think they would get housed on a field with the big boys. I really, honestly do think Ohio State would, pretty much similar to what happened in Notre Dame back in January by Alabama. I think it would be something like that. And then we'd have to sit around again and say, all right, the two best teams did not play in this game. That's why I don't have a problem with them getting jumped.
You see, I'm a little higher on Ohio State than a lot of people are, but I will concede the fact that I don't know if they're – I certainly don't think they're better than Alabama. I don't think that they're better than Oregon, and I don't think that they're better than Florida State. So I can't argue for them being in a BCS championship game scenario if they were being debated amongst those teams. I can't make that case. But I do feel that they're probably getting a little disrespected, I guess disrespected in how they're nationally perceived, but I honestly can't come up with too many arguments to combat it because their strength of schedule is not in their favor. What they've done in the Big Ten, certainly they're winning football games. They've got an offense, I think, and I think it's better than last year, at least as their offense is concerned. But their defense, you know, I thought was a little better, but they're giving up some points and they're giving up a lot of plays against their Big Ten opponents. So they've squeaked by a couple games, Northwestern, obviously Wisconsin, the way that one played out, and this past weekend against Iowa. And I think it's probably going to be the same kind of result this weekend against Penn State. We'll see. Ohio State's conference wins aren't really overly impressive, and I think that's what's holding them back.
Yeah, they needed kind of almost in the same vein as Louisville against Rutgers, mm-hmm. and then they finally slayed the egg against UCF. I mean, Ohio State was in a position where they needed to basically blow out, maybe not everybody, but when they were put in a position against the Wisconsin and the Northwesterns, they really had to make an impression, and they didn't. That's plain and simple. They didn't make that impression. So, and then you have just this past week, they let Kirk Ferentz and the boys hang in there with them for a little bit, and then that really didn't help either. So they really did nothing to help their cause. And like you said, they're not a bad football team by any means. I love what Urban does, and maybe I could be wrong, because now even thinking about it, you give Nick Saban all this time to prepare for the national championship games. He always has those guys ready. I think in a similar sense, Urban, given 40-some days, he'd be able to come up with something that would be able to compete for a little bit. But again, I think in the end, I don't think he'd have the team to compete for a national championship.
I think it would all really determine, or it would be based on who they would be paired up against. So if they got paired up against Alabama, it could very well turn into a game like we saw last year against Notre Dame. I kind of like that comparison you said about Ohio State, where maybe they're kind of a step up or a glorified Notre Dame this year. I can buy into that. I can see that happening. But if they go up against Florida State, if they went up against Oregon, I don't know if their defense would be able to contain what those teams could do on offense. And I think that's really their biggest downfall right now. Obviously, we'll see what happens during the second half of the season. Maybe that's something that changes for Ohio State. Certainly something that needs to show change if people are going to start to buy into them.
Yeah, they need to be a little more dominant. Even those teams that played in the mid 2000s, even though they were teams that got blown off the field too. But during the regular season, except for 2006 against Michigan, where you had that thriller, but still both teams were undefeated, so it really didn't matter at the time. But other than that, Ohio State, they blew everyone off the field. The Big Ten was turning into Ohio State, everybody else, and that's what it needs to be. And it's not, because now they were. We had for a while Northwestern in the conversation. All right, this team might win the Big Ten. We had Wisconsin. And it's unfortunate that it has to work that way, because you have multiple teams in the conference for a reason. But to compete for a national championship, someone like Ohio State in the Big Ten, it has to be them and then everybody else. You guys figure out what you're doing down here, but we're just going to sit up top here. And it hasn't been like that.
All right, still thinking about the BCS. I'm always drawn to the potential BCS busters. And this year, it looks like we've got two leading candidates running away with that possible category right now. Fresno State, certainly what they've done this season, where they are ranked right now. And of course, last year's BCS Buster, Northern Illinois, still in the conversation. Do you think either of those teams will make the BCS, and could there potentially be two BCS Busters in the last year of the BCS?
I like both those teams, and they learned the lesson with Northern Illinois last year, where if they're going to make the BCS again, fine, but be careful who you match them up with. You have to be able to, they put them in there with Florida State, and they got destroyed.
Yeah,
because Florida State had the speedy D like Jordan Lynch. Yes, it's fun watching him break records and run all over teams.
316 rushing yards last week, FBS record for a quarterback.
Oh, and that's insane.
Yeah.
But when he tried running against Florida State,
didn't work.
He got buried. Right. But just because the fast, physical, me personally, I kind of wish that, if Central Florida wins the AAC, I mean, I know it's not anything. It's nothing glorious that they can spread on that they can advertise on TV and say, hey, watch this game. But I would be intrigued by a Central Florida Northern Illinois football game just to watch. I think that would be a really good matchup. That'd be a really good game. You can't put either one of those guys in a position where they're going to get destroyed on national TV, because nobody wins out in the end there. I think Fresno said, I love Carr. I think Carr.
Yeah.
I think he's miles ahead where his brother was, to be honest with you. I really think that he's miles ahead of where David was. But again, you have to be careful where, and you don't want to see the match up against each other. I mean, a few years ago they tried that with TCU and Boise, which was a good game, but TCU and Boise are different. TCU and Boise were building themselves up on the level of some of the top FBS programs. But Fresno State, Northern Illinois, They're good teams in their own conferences, but they're not on the level where you can put them on the field against the Florida State of Miami, and they're going to compete. So that's my only concern. Like I said, you just got to be careful when you put them on the field.
Yeah, I agree. And, it could be one of those things where one bull is going to have to just bite the bullet and just accept it if it comes to that case. And obviously, there maybe have to be some backroom deals to make sure that bull is going to be happy, because it's not going to draw particularly well. This is not an offense to either of those programs, but we know how it is in the reality of the sport. It's going to take a little bit of a hit, but to people like you and I, we're going to be watching. We'll be interested in seeing what happens.
Like I said, I mean, UCF wins that AAC, then in either Northern Illinois or I'd love to see that game. That'd be fantastic.
I think it would be a lot of fun to watch. I really, first of all, I really like the Central Florida team. I think this is a really fun team, and I'm not just saying that because of what they did at Louisville. I think that's a team to watch out for. And we saw what they did against Penn State, obviously what they did against Louisville, and of course, they were close against South Carolina. That was a tough matchup for them.
Can you imagine where we would be right now, though? I thought about this Friday night after they beat Louisville. I'm thinking, if they had a win on their resume, Central Florida, South Carolina, Penn State, and now Louisville, what would we be arguing? We would be sitting here arguing right now, all right, should Central Florida play for the national championship? But in their case, they would have a case to say, yeah, we could be playing because we beat an SEC team, we beat a Big Ten team, we beat the top team in our own conference. Why shouldn't we play? And we really have no right to look at them and say, oh, well, you guys are kind of right. Probably should be in there.
Well, they would have as good of an argument as Ohio State, I'll say that. If not
exactly.
Better. Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch the next few weeks, I think, to see which teams kind of start to pull away in the BCS hunt, the Heisman chase, which players, I should say. And certainly this whole BCS Buster is something I'm always paying attention to. So I'm always curious to see how it's going to play out. And I know you guys at Saturday Blitz are going to be keeping a good eye on all of this stuff as well. So Jack Jurgensen from Saturday Blitz, part of the Fansided Network. Jack, just remind people how they can get in touch with you, and then we'll wrap it up.
You can find me, like Kevin said, on Twitter, JackJ14CFB. You can email me for anything, JackJ144226@gmail.com. And remember, everything over SaturdayBlitz.com and FanSided.com.
All right, Jack, it was great to have you on the podcast today. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks.
My thanks to Jack Jurgensen from SaturdayBlitz.com for stopping in today, talking some college football with me, and it was a pleasure getting a chance to do so. I want to remind everybody who is listening, you can follow us on Twitter at Crystal Ball Run, like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Crystal Ball Run, find us on Google and YouTube, and you can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes. Also check out our newsletter at CrystalBallRun.com, and that's going to do it for this episode. I'm Kevin McGuire. Give me a follow on Twitter at KevinOnCFB. For everybody at Crystal Ball Run and for Jack Jurgensen from SaturdayBlitz.com, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll talk to you soon. Love.